This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Guardians of the MCU on the Random Chatter Network.
Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 106, and we are recording this on July 13th, 2020. I am Tim, and joining me tonight is John. Hello, John. Welcome back from vacation.
It is, well, I'd say, is it ever really nice to be back from vacation?
Sometimes you need a vacation, like from your vacation, so you can kind of ease into things.
See, I used to have young kids. Those are called trips. Trips are what you need a vacation from, and trips are what you take with young children. Mine are now older, and they're truly vacations because they're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That certainly helps. That helps. It's nice to be able to like do things together, but then also sometimes just say, "Hey, you guys do your thing. We're going to do our thing."
Yeah. You know. Oh, well, absolutely.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
You John, had a little getaway too?
Yeah. 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 Got this past weekend, went and hung out with Lou and his wife, which, you know, we of course did safely. And, but it was fun, you know, spent some time out on a boat and going through, you know, a few small shops around where they are and just, you know, both Lou and I broke our fasting regimen and we ate and drank until we were stupid through the weekend. And, you know, now we're recovering from that. But it was good. It was good. It was a good time. Nice to get away, take a break, like actually physically see people and hang out and just kind of do whatever. And
It is a great, whether it's just, not good for Lou in this case, necessarily, but just to get a different sense of scenery. I mean, you know, we had a couple rainy days at the beach and it was like, sitting around a house, putzing around on a phone or just reading a book, but it's not my house. It's a different house.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing what simply that change in scenery kind of does for the psyche. And it's a good recharge. And especially just, you know, kind of in this environment where so many people are stuck at home, or if they are going to work, it's basically they're at work and they're at home and that's it. Like there really is not that much else for us to do. And, you know, quite honestly, even with where we're at right now, the kind of recent revelation about, coronavirus kind of like hanging out in the air a little bit more. It's like, well, now we have restaurants and bars shutting back down that had opened up before. And, you know, certainly even myself, ever since that announcement came through, it's like, yeah, I have some reluctance of, you know, going and sitting inside in a restaurant. You know, Robin and I had some over the last couple of weeks. And, now it's pretty much just going to be relegated to sitting outside at a restaurant.
We sat outside at a restaurant on vacation and in a row in this outdoor seating, there were three booths. So we were in the booth looking at all three of them, the one all the way to the right.
Okay.
So another family comes in and they seat them in the center booth next to us. Mm. Now, granted, they were all faced away from us, but like not 6 feet.
Right.
I'm like, you put him in the leftmost one.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Put him over there.
It's kind of like urinal etiquette. You know, you always have to, you go the furthest away from somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, people know about urinal listeners. Etiquette, right? People know about that?
I don't think our female listeners know.
Yeah. I mean, some of them may be aware of it, but yeah, true. I mean, you know, there's urinal etiquette. You always, you know, if you know, you walk into the bathroom and typically, like, you know, maybe someone's standing at the first urinal, and it, not necessarily to say you have to go all the way to the last one in the row, but you go at least like in the middle somewhere. If you have a row of, say, like eight or 10 of them.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go like right next to somebody. That's weird. It's awkward. You know, even pre-COVID, we don't do that. We don't do that.
I feel like women have something along those lines when they all go to the restroom together, though.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think we just found a title for the episode. Yeah.
All right, should we talk about Marvel?
We probably should. We probably should. Okay. I do have to say, though, John, I mean, it's nice to talk to you because I have missed you. You and I would have several times a day conversations since we were working together. And then, you know, you were on a well-deserved vacation last week. And while we texted here and there, we didn't actually talk on the phone. So it's good to talk to you again. It's good to talk to you again. I you know, I missed you.
One of these days we'll get to see each other again in person.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so sometime soon. So yeah, we got to make that happen. All right. I think this is it. Ladies and gentlemen, on to our news. Giancarlo Esposito, are you a fan?
Honestly, the only thing I know him from is The Mandalorian.
I'm
sure I've seen him in other things, but like, I know when people lost their mind that he was in The Mandalorian, I'm like, I don't really know who this is.
I have to say, I completely agree. I knew him by name. I did not know anything that he was in. And like you, I had probably seen him in something before. But yeah, I like him in The Mandalorian, even though he hasn't had like I mean, he has a significant role in the series, but in terms of like screen time, he didn't have a big role, but he has a presence and I like his presence and I like what he does. And he has said that doing some work in the MCU is kind of his next step, or at least that's what he wants to do. And then, you know, kind of interesting after seeing some articles about this and him making this statement, there's been some stuff kicking around the social media today about like somebody fan casted him as Dr. Doom, which I thought was really interesting. And of course there were some naysayers of like, well, wait a minute. He's older and he's black. He can't be Dr. Doom.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, he can. Like,
yeah.
Marvel Studios does not stick that closely to origin stories. They do some really, really creative stuff. And yeah, you could have an older black guy as Dr. Doom and they could absolutely 100% make it work. I see no reason why they couldn't. I mean, someone's like, oh, that he has to be an Eastern European person and he has to be younger because he has to be Reed Richards' age. And no. Let's, you know, yes, we have some preconceived kind of foundational things with certain characters. But really what the MCU has stuck with is more of the personality traits. If anything of a lot of these characters, I mean, they can completely disregard in a lot of cases. They can disregard certainly race. They can even disregard gender. They can disregard certain cultural things and such, if it's appropriate for them to do so. Because really, quite honestly, we don't need, you know, another white guy. It's fine if they do, and if they decide they want to stick with that. But I see that this guy has, I think, you know, he certainly has a presence. Breaking Bad, by the way,
and he is
what he's most known for.
Though he was also in, going way further back, Taps, which ranks high in. Yeah, it took me a while to scroll back. And he was also in The Usual Suspects. I don't remember him in that, but I've seen that movie an enormous amount of times.
Hmm.
I do say whatever he's going to be in the MCU, he's got to play a villain. I would also, maybe not Dr. Doom. And again, this is going to probably not our listeners. Some people out there would lose their minds over this suggestion. Would he not make a fantastic Magneto?
Some people were kicking that around also.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that as well. And I think that's also a great idea. It absolutely totally works. I think the guy could pull off a certainly a handful of them and of you know, different characters. And yeah, I think he'd be pretty well suited to a villain, but really a villain with a presence, a villain with a I guess essentially, you know, intelligence, villain who is thinking through things also, and isn't just like kind of pure brawn. I mean, this is a guy, especially seeing him as Moff Gideon and what he's doing. And just, again, that physical presence that he has on the small screen, it really tells a lot about what the guy can do. So, I mean, he's there's plenty of people out there who can, you know, just kind of simply be a blunt object, and he is not one of them.
No. So, I mean, but I would welcome him into the MCU.
Oh, totally.
I think he'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Someone who apparently has never been contacted by Marvel Studios for a part. And this kind of blows my mind.
Tim, I told you not to bring me up when it comes to this. Because I've never been contacted by Marvel Studios for a part.
Well, this is true, but you are not one of the highest paid talents out there.
My name is.
That's true. In a way. Charlize Theron, who.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, she is, hell, I don't know what, top three actresses right now, maybe top two. I mean, like, she's like very, very high up there. She has these incredible parts. She has an amazing filmography that goes back to like the 90s. She has done so much. I mean, again, talking about someone who has a presence, and she has this huge range of stuff that she can do. She says that she has never been contacted by Marvel Studios for a part. I would love to see her in the MCU. It would, for her, it would definitely have to be like, hey, we have to find the right part for her, because like, it would have to be the most badass part possible.
Yeah, I'm not as cracked up as feeling like, yeah, that'd be fantastic for her to be in there. And it's no, I mean, she has a great body of work, but there's not even in like comic lore, or even where they're going with any of the phases, is there somebody that says that I'm like, oh yeah, her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think that there's certainly talent out there that I think we kind of tend to envision a little bit more of like, oh yeah, hey, I can totally see that person being in the MCU. I will say that like for me, and as for as much of a fan of her as I am, there's nothing in particular that comes to mind. Hell, they could cast her as Dr. Doom and that would be mind blowing.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to do that, I'm scrolling through pictures of her to see if anything jumps out. The only thing I can think of with her, and again, I'm going to go to the X-Men wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to, and this is not, I'm just take it for a grain of salt as I say it, as an older, like Emma Frost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not having anything to, you know, not calling her old. I'm just saying, you know, when we know they want to go in a more, it's rumored they want to go in a more younger direction for some of the cast, mm-hmm. having her, you know, kind of play in that role. I could see that.
Yeah. But if they were to do that, it would have to be like they would have to give her an even bigger part than what we saw before. I mean, almost kind of like Mystique level.
No, she would have to be like,
especially for the amount of money they'd be paying her.
Yeah. I mean, not the big bad, but maybe like the, you know, like her role in the Hellfire Club, mm-hmm. kind of the pulling the strings.
Yeah.
For, you know, for some of them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, she could do. Hell, I think she could do Professor X too.
She could if they wanted to gender switch that, and that'd be fine as well.
But she's also like a really physical actress, so to have her kind of, you know, basically confined to a wheelchair would be. And the thing is, like, she has the range to pull it off. And of course, this also swings to the other side of things of like, hey, if there's a person to play a disability, why not get a person who has that disability to actually mm-hmm. portray it on screen? And I get that. I'm not dismissing that. So for anyone out there who's thinking that, I totally get it. Just saying, you also have people who have like incredible range and who can actually do that as well, because I don't think it, you know, everyone can. I mean, I think that there's actors who would kind of lose their presence because they actually wouldn't know how to do that without like basically moving around. And we've been fortunate enough to have some actors who truly can and who can do it well. It doesn't come to mind for me like any big part that jumps out to me for her though.
No.
But it does surprise me a little bit that she hasn't been approached yet.
And I do just want to point out to folks, as I essentially did call her old, we're basically the same age. So, I mean, plus or minus like 3 months. So I pulled it up. I was like, cool. I also just called me old.
No.
Call it a spade a spade.
And the thing is, it's not that she's old. It's just, I mean, she's been around for a long time. She has this like,
she's been acting for a very long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She has like this really, really extensive filmography. And I think that that's one of the things that kind of like maybe psychologically does that for us, because we just know that, oh, this person's been around for a long time. And so they must be older, but yeah. I mean, she is definitely older than January Jones. You know, going to the Emma Frost thing.
Yeah.
So we mentioned this before. San Diego Comic-Con, of course, is canceled this year, as are most things. And so they are doing Comic-Con at Home. We've also mentioned that. That is running later this month. It's coming up pretty quick. July 23 through 26, Comic-Con at Home. This is going to be free. We don't yet know like what service they're going to be streaming this on, but they are going to be streaming things live. There's an actual schedule that's out there for it that shows, you know, hey, this panel is going to run at 10 o'clock and this other panel is going to run at 11, et cetera, et cetera. So it is truly structured and scheduled. And the people, the participants in the panel are going to all be remoting in from, you know, presumably their homes or their offices or whatever. And I think it's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, also presumably these things are going to be archived and immediately available for replay, probably on YouTube, which is where things like that tend to end up being. There are right now three things that have been announced that are MCU related. Kind of a bummer to see, though, that at least right now so far, there has not been like kind of your big Hall H Marvel Studios MCU kind of event. It's not there. There is a thought, though, and I actually forgot to put this in the show notes. Apparently, there are some Black Widow trailers that have been approved for release. Some people were thinking that these are going to be shown at Comic-Con at home. I think they're probably going to save them for the lead up to this, if in fact the movie is going to be released in October or November, as it is presently scheduled to do so. And of course, I'm making a check here. November 6th.
Is Disney doing like a similar thing for like D3 or something else for
D23?
I'm sorry.
I don't know if this was a D23 year or not.
I'm just wondering if, because it's at home, if part of it is, yes, they've got to do a little bit because it is Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
But are they going to do their own thing?
Certainly not that we have heard.
Yeah, no, and I haven't heard either. But to me, it would make more sense that with everyone online, they could probably figure out a way to do something on their own and make their own money off of it.
Yeah. Last year was a D23, so, and I believe they tend to go every 2 years. Yep. So I think next year would be their next one.
Okay.
No, I definitely a valid thought, though. And you know, the thing is, maybe they don't even have to attach what they want to do to someone else's convention. They could just say, like, a month from now, they're just going to put out this announcement of, hey, we're going to do our own like day long MCU convention, and it's going to be live streamed. It's going to be free. And here's the panels that we're going to have and the things we're going to talk about. And they would do like phenomenally well. And there's no reason why they couldn't do it.
Well, that's why I wonder if they're going to try to hold off and, you know, figure something else like that on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But we do have a couple things.
We do have a few things that are MCU related. One of the panels is going to be Hellstrom, the Hulu series, which is semi Ghost Rider related, but that doesn't really matter now since there's not going to be a Ghost Rider show. I'm still interested in it. You know, this is Hulu, so it is going to be kind of pushing the envelope. It's definitely going to be more adult. I am very much interested in seeing this panel because, aside from like saying, hey, we're going to do a Hellstrom show and it's going to be on Hulu, we haven't heard squat about it. So we generally, I mean, aside from just simply what we know about Damian Hellstrom from the comics, and kind of the general background of that character, we really don't know anything about the show itself. It's going to be like kind of quasi like detective-y, but that's really all they've indicated. So I'm interested in seeing the panel. Obviously, I expect that they're going to have like the showrunner and your major stars and probably a trailer for it. That's that. But I think that's going to be good enough. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly what it's about. Hellstrom, let me just look at the dates we have in our notes here. Actually, don't have a release date for Hellstrom in our notes. So
I don't remember them talking about one yet.
I don't either. And
that may be part of the panel.
Yeah, I expect it will be. And they did, I believe, all their production, or at least the principal photography, is done. So we should hopefully get a release date for that, which would be fantastic. Looking forward to that. On July 23rd, and I think Hellstrom is also on July 23rd, that panel. But on July 23rd as well is a panel for Marvel 616. This is, we've talked about this a little bit in the past. So Marvel 616, going off of their description, is an anthological documentary series exploring the intersection between Marvel's rich legacy of stories, characters, and creators and the world outside your window. It's told through the lens of a diverse group of filmmakers. Each documentary will dive into the rich historical, cultural, and societal context that has become inseparable from stories of the Marvel Universe. I'm absolutely intrigued about what this is going to be.
Oh, I mean, as an anthropology minor, I mean, this is one of those that Disney and Marvel don't do anything half-assed. I really want this to be really good because this is one that, like, I can see it like as family viewing.
Oh, totally.
And kind of to dive into with the kids, with, you know, Esty, who's not, you know, she'll watch the movies, but she doesn't have some of that background. But I think tying into the historical and the cultural, you know, just think of what they could touch on with, you know, what they did with the Black Panther movie and, you know, some of those connections that were made. I mean, it would be just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of this is going to be for folks who may have watched the Disney Gallery series for The Mandalorian, which was like this incredible, the entire first season of this was on The Mandalorian. It was, I don't know, maybe 8 episodes or so. John, did you catch any of it?
I did not.
It's this incredible behind the scenes thing. And each episode was dedicated to different perspectives of the making of The Mandalorian. So like one episode was on all the directors because they had different directors for every episode. Another one was on the cast. Another one was on, like digital effects. Another one was on practical effects. Another one was on story. And so they did all these things and the focus of each one. And it was just really, really incredible. And I love the behind the scenes stuff. I love to know how the sausage is made. This seems to be like that. And then some, because they are showing those intersections between pop culture and real life and how they each influence each other. So like you said, like all the different like subcultural influences on the African continent that they pull together to create the culture of Wakanda.
Yeah.
And likewise, there's things that are in pop culture that then influence society. So there's definitely a lot of back and forth with it. And I'm really interested in that. I think it's gonna be fantastic.
Do we have a release date for this one?
I don't think so.
I didn't see one.
We don't. It's actually one of our question marks on our list. Okay. We show it as confirmed, but we don't have a release date. I suspect we'll also get a release date from this. I don't think they can talk about it in a panel without saying, at least giving us like a season or a quarter of probably next year when it's going to come out. The next panel, the next kind of MCU related panel is called The Next Big Thing. And this is going to be on July 24th. Their description here is more of a comic oriented panel that's going to feature creatives involved in the new crossover series Empire, which, by the way, Empire issue 0 just dropped, I think, late last week. I have not read it yet, but this is like a super Skrull kind of story that's really like the next big crossover event within Marvel. They're going to talk about Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think with Empire, they ended up having to, I think that was the one where they said they scaled back some of the crossovers only because
you just cut out, John. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think this is with an Empire, they scaled back some of the crossover and standalone issues because of COVID, which is a big impact to them because something like this generally spans pretty much across all the comics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, you would expect this to be something like an Infinity Saga, like a Civil War, like a Maximum Carnage, something like that, which is hitting almost every title that's out there.
Yeah.
In some way. And yeah, truly right now, Marvel is sitting on most of their series like 3 and 4 months behind. So, I mean, I have just on Comixology a bunch of issues that are in the hopper that, like, you know, things that were supposed to release in like May that they're not out yet. They have the cover art form. And I think the whole reason, I mean, I'm guessing they're probably done, but they're not releasing them on Comixology because they have made the decision that they want to release them in print also. And they probably don't want to release it digitally without releasing it in print.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's my guess. Quite honestly, if this disruption in distribution of hard copy comics is going to go another couple months, I think they just got to start releasing them in digital. And they're making their money off of it. I mean, I you know, on Comixology or Marvel Unlimited or whatever, you're still paying generally, unless things are discounted or whatever. But by and large, you're still paying the cover price on these things. So it's not that they're not going to make their money, but I obviously understand the value of print comics. So let's see. Speaking of big things in comics, they're also going to talk about Spider-Man's 850th issue. 850?
Yeah.
Like, boom. My when I read this, I'm like, holy crap, really? That's where they are. That's nuts. That is bonkers. And they're also going to talk about, this is kind of a little bit more here where there is an MCU intersection or potentially the return of Werewolf by Night. That's,
by the way, Tim, that's over 70 years of one comic a month.
That's bonkers. That's crazy. Yeah. So the return of Werewolf by Night, which is expected to have some kind of MCU involvement. I'm guessing probably on the Moon Knight side. Werewolf by Night is where Moon Knight debuted. And then kind of through the years, Werewolf by Night would then have some kind of appearance in Moon Knight comics, as the Werewolf by Night comic went away. And then Moon Knight had a number of different series. And so that every once in a while, they kind of bring him back into it. So we'll see. But if they're going to be bringing him back, it certainly does seem that there are things going on in the comics that, like, oh, they're doing something with this character that no one ever expected. Is that some kind of indication that they're going to be doing something in the MCU with that character? So we will see.
Certainly a possibility if they do. I mean, they're connecting more and more of these things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Also, so there was an interesting article out here. I guess actually more of a statement that went out. I'm reading this specifically from The Escapist magazine, which is probably the first time I've ever referenced The Escapist. let's see. So Kate Shortland, who is the director of Black Widow, she was talking to IndieWire, which we have referenced a number of times in things, that the Black Widow movie is basically, it is attempting to pass the baton from Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow to a new superhero played by Florence Pugh. And we've obviously seen a lot of Florence Pugh in trailers for this and in a lot of the early promotions that they've done for it. Obviously, quote, present day in the MCU, there is no Black Widow. She perished in the Infinity War. And so, you know, is Florence Pugh going to be the next kind of version of Black Widow? Will she be Black Widow? Will she be something else? We just don't know. So Pugh does play that. The character who she plays is Yelena Belova. which is a character who did take over as Black Widow in the comics. So it's certainly possible there. But as we just talked about not too long ago, the MCU is more than happy to change things around in these kinds of stories and origins and that kind of stuff. So they could really do anything with her. We presume that Yelena kind of, you know, she went through the same program that Black Widow did. So she has the same training. She has the same kind of background and talents and capabilities and all that good stuff. So she could be a recurring character, which I think would be great. If she comes out to be a good character, there's no reason to drop her.
I was about to jump in and disagree with you. I will agree with the, if she's a good character, and it makes sense. And this is no discredit to the actress. I feel like we've got, you know, the Shield, you know, got passed. We're to a degree, you know, between Thor giving Valkyrie the ruling of Asgard and the rumor of, you know, Jane and will she pick up the hammer in Love and Thunder?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we have, you know, there've been different rumors across for a replacement for Iron Man. There's so many characters that we haven't touched on and used. And this is, again, not to Scarlett Johansson, you know, Black Widow, whomever. I don't feel that we need, you know, a Black Widow 2.0. I would love to just see them continue to use and develop new characters like they are doing in the Disney Plus series. And we've heard, I don't want the next Avengers movie to be made up of everyone who either died or passed their mantle on and move forward from there. I just, we have a lot of possibilities. I'd like to see more of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. And I would certainly, I agree that I don't want to see like basically the new Black Widow. I would want to see if they're going to have her be a recurring character. I guess fundamentally she kind of would be, quote, a replacement for Black Widow. I don't want to see her be the new Black Widow. I would like to see her be her own character with her own abilities, and hopefully there's something unique about her if they're going to bring her in. And if she's a great character, you kind of hate to see her just simply be a one-off. Obviously, well, we also know that there is this time jump because the Black Widow film goes back in time, and to come forward to basically where we are now in the primary universe, we're actually going to talk about some of the different universes that they're using in Phase 4. To bring her forward, you do kind of wonder like, well, okay, hey, where's she been all this time? And then how are they going to kind of bring her into the fold in new stories?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that's where you have the kind of what you'd gotten on, you know, when you first brought this up of, I mean, I think part of it is how the character and her role is received. And I mean, again, does it make sense? You know, I would love to have her be a character that, you know, kind of floats in and out, more true kind of Black Widow, how Scarlett Johansson was in, you know, the Iron Mans, and to a degree, even like the start of the first Avenger movie,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to kind of up front and center. But, I mean, we'll have to see. Yeah, no, again, I have, you know, faith in Marvel. But I do more and more want to see the newer characters coming in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do agree. I mean, we do need to move forward, and they are moving forward with things, and you want to have some characters kind of from the past who are helping with that transition and basically continuing to carry that torch. But we also need to move into some new characters, and eventually contracts are going to end and all that. So,
yeah.
Let's see, quick commercial break. Network announcements. I think the only network announcement we have is just kind of continuing to bring attention to our YouTube channel. If you go to randomchatter.com/YouTube, we do have a number of our podcasts like Random Chatter and Echo Base and Movie Chatter and others over on YouTube. And so we are still continuing to release those as regular podcasts, but those are also being put up on YouTube as well. And it looks like we're actually going to change from basically for all those shows that we do video on, we've been doing the live stream on Twitch, and then we fundamentally archive them on YouTube. We're actually, I think, going to be moving over to live streaming off of YouTube and then just keeping everything there. And there's still like an interactive chat on YouTube. So while we're recording, you can watch the live screen. You can still interact with us. And that's a lot of fun. We've actually been seeing a lot of, we're seeing a lot more stability on YouTube. We're also seeing a lot of people, particularly in the whole kind of time of coronavirus here, where a lot of like notables are, you know, they're not out there performing. And so they're doing their things. They're choosing to use YouTube as their primary platform for both live streaming as well as basically archiving their episodes. So, yeah. So I think in the next month or so, I think we're going to be transitioning over to YouTube. But nonetheless, all of our archive is still going to be there. Of course, you can find information on all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We definitely appreciate you leaving reviews and spreading the word, whether that is on YouTube or by way of any of the podcast apps that you like to use, whatever your preference is. You can contribute to us a number of ways. You can become a member of Random Chatter. Go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. Multiple levels of membership are on there. All the information is there. We are a nonprofit organization, so you actually do become a member by contributing to us, and you get perks at each membership level. You can get Random Chatter merchandise from TeePublic. If you go to randomchatter.com/store, you could pick up, like I'm wearing here tonight, our Guardians of the MCU t-shirt. And I'll tell you, I love TeePublic stuff. Their shirts are soft and comfortable. They generally fit true to size. They don't tend to shrink that much. They wear very well, and it's a good fabric. The fabric is, it's not that really cheap thin stuff that you get at a lot of places. It's really good. So I think it's for what you pay, you get a good value, and actually a certain percentage of anything that you buy on there, coming from the Random Chatter Network, actually does go back to us, which is another great way to contribute. And so you can also kind of, let people know what your fandoms are. And we have logos up there for a bunch of our shows. And of course, you can join us on Discord at randomchatter.com/Discord. That is a great way to directly interact with us in perpetuity. So that's that. Do you have anything to add to the commercial break, John?
Don't forget to get your masks from there.
Yes. Yes, that's a good idea. You can get your masks from TeePublic.
Folks are going to need masks for a long time. They're going to be the new fashion accessory. Buy lots.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. They really are. They truly are the next fashion accessory, and you can get them with all your favorite logos on them, and there's some pretty interesting designs for masks, especially the masks that people are making at home, but you don't have to make them at home. If you know, there's a logo out there that you like,
absolutely.
You can get it from TeePublic. So yeah, good mention, John. Good mention. All right. Back to our news. I mentioned just a couple minutes ago that we're actually dealing with a few different universes or timelines in Phase 4. We're dealing with the primary universe, which as we left it, as we last saw it with Endgame, we were in 2023, actually. So we were a few years ahead of where we are now. It's probably fairly convenient for them in a way that movies are postponed a little bit, so they can probably, I think they might be wanting to dial that clock back to present day, and the production delays are might be their best way to actually do that. So we're going to have some films that are taking place there, as well as Disney Plus productions as well. We have whatever timeline or universe that the Loki Disney Plus show is going to take a place in. And we know that he's going to be jumping between, certainly between times and maybe even between different universes. So that's going to be very, very interesting to see what he does. And we also do have technically the alternate universe of the What If Disney Plus series. Mm-hmm. And you know, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. But What If has always just simply, the What If comic series has never really been like an alternate universe. It's just been like a fun thing, speculative thing for Marvel writers to do. And the What If stories themselves don't necessarily coexist in one universe, but they may do this in the series. Who knows?
I mean, I always kind of took it as, with the What Ifs, you could either take it as they don't fit anywhere, or there's a plethora of multiverses, so they could be anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fun. I mean, the Loki one, you know, is going to be fun, since that is one of the timeline mishaps that Steve really couldn't fix, you know, going back, because, well, Loki disappeared, and where is he going to go find him?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We also, we don't know exactly where or when, the next Doctor Strange movie is going to take us, Multiverse of Madness. And we also don't completely know where WandaVision is going to take place. Now, WandaVision may largely take place in Wanda's mind, which really isn't part of the multiverse, but it definitely is a different place for us.
I don't think they're going to pull that. I think they're going to, while it may be some of her psychosis, I foresee a, you know, kind of big twist on the back end of that, especially as it ties into Doctor Strange too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of it's going to take place kind of in the present day universe, but there are definitely going to be some twists from her psychoses and such. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that brings us. And like you said, we expect a lot of tie in to Doctor Strange too, coming out of this. In last week's episode, I mentioned some of Anthony Mackie's call for more diversity in the MCU. And actually, the Russo brothers, in a recent interview, were talking about it. Joe Russo, in particular, responded to it. He said, I think we can always all do better at diversity, constantly in this business and in every facet of every industry. So he's not wrong at all. He was referencing Anthony Mackie's statement. He said, I think we all have to work harder to keep endorsing and supporting diversity on both sides of the camera. I mean, I quite honestly wouldn't have expected any kind of a different statement from the Russo brothers. They definitely fall in line with this stuff. They have definitely championed a lot of diversity, and it's good that they recognize that, you know, there's still more work to be done. So anything
good on that?
Yeah.
I mean, and it takes sometimes a lot of big names calling it out to help bring about some of that change.
Yeah, I agree.
And hopefully we'll see on some of their future movies, I mean, them putting their money where their mouth is and making sure that their crews that they're hiring, you know, across the board have that level of diversity as well. And I think it's times like these that we see more and more change happening. So I would certainly hope, and I don't know if expect is the right word, but kind of expect that they seem to be the type of people that would go and do that.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. Speaking of the Russo brothers, they have expressed some interest in working on a Star Wars property, which is pretty interesting. Lou and Eric and I talked about this last night on Echo Base quite a bit. You know, what we would like to see, talking about what they might do. And of course, Star Wars property these days doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be on the big screen. This could be something like a Disney Plus series. We know that the strength of the Russo brothers really is working on things that are episodic. And we look at what they've done in the MCU, and their movies really are episodic. They're a reflection of that. They go for the long game kind of storytelling, and it works very well for them. So not to say that they wouldn't do well doing a, you know, single standalone Star Wars film. I'm sure they would, but they're, a lot of their background is doing episodic TV stuff. Yeah. That's really where they started. So if they were to do something in Star Wars on Disney Plus, I think it would be phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and again, with such a rich character history to pull from, or even like timeline to pull from, they could do a lot with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them do an episode of like The Mandalorian if they continued the trend of different actor or different directors coming in. But also, you know, give them a, you know, a six episode series to play with.
Yeah. Yep. I think it would be awesome. They would do some really cool stuff with it. So this last piece I thought was pretty funny. This came from, where did this come from? Republic World. Again, this is something that I don't know we've ever referenced before. But this is a great thing. And this kind of jumps back in time a little bit, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was pretty relevant. Back in 2015, Jason Statham, we know he's like this awesome action hero. He's in pretty good action movies. I like him. He said in an interview that fight scenes in Marvel movies are such that anybody can perform them, even his grandmother. He said that he could put his grandmother in a cape and in front of a green screen and then have stunt doubles come in and do all the action.
Okay. I mean, that's a statement.
It's a statement. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's wrong, but he's certainly glossing over an awful lot of detail and like making certain assumptions about things. And certainly Jason Statham is noted for doing most, if not all, of his physical work and stunt work and fight work and that kind of stuff on his films. So he is coming at this from a very specific perspective. Paul Bettany, not long after that, happened to be on Conan O'Brien, and he had an absolutely like incredible response to this. He said he doesn't know why someone would make such a comment. And he added that there's times when I try to do as many of the stunts I can myself, but there are times when it's too dangerous. And even the producer says it's too dangerous and tricky for me to do. Potentially, maybe we should think about investing in an acting double. He said, I'd never talk about someone else's work, but I'm just saying, you know, I read the contract from Marvel. There's obviously stunt men in the world. You've met them. You've seen them. They're really good at what they do. So let them do it. But if there's a really, really tricky scene with some really tricky dialogue, you might want to consider bringing in an active double for Jason Statham. I love the comment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Jason Statham is very good at what he does.
Yeah.
And long dialogue and character depth. And I'm trying to go through, you know, movies I've seen with him. Are not necessarily his forte. And I mean, it's one of those, you hear this you know, said a lot about a lot of actors and actresses. When I see Jason Statham in a movie, it's, oh, Jason Statham's playing Joe Schmo in this movie, but it's Jason Statham. He's the same across the board, as opposed to other actors and actresses. When you see them in a movie, you forget who they are.
Right.
I mean, it is the character, and you see beyond the actor or the actress. And you need both in this. Those are actors and actresses that can't do a good popcorn flick, you know, action movie. So, I mean, all type of actors and actresses are needed. And that doesn't, you know, there's plenty of roles to go around.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's not known for being a phenomenal actor in terms of just kind of like raw acting skills. He is best known for his physicality. And he's very good at it. I mean, like I said, I like him. I like a lot of the movies that he's in. Paul Bettany's response was, I mean, it was definitely a stick in his eye, hysterical. Though. You know, it really is. It's like, hey, you know, if you say that I should be getting a stunt person to do my stunts, you should probably be getting like an acting double to do your acting. It was outstanding. I laughed my ass off. I had never seen this before, and I don't particularly know why this article. I mean, this was a recently written article. From
something that I kept going back. It was like, Tim's got a typo. It says 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was just released that like last week. So just kind of funny, but yeah. So that's it. That's all I've got. Do you have anything, John, anything you want to add?
It's not Marvel, but can I mention how excited I am about the Bad Batch?
Oh, you absolutely can. Yeah, go ahead. Recent announcement. It was just announced this afternoon.
So in Star Wars, in the last season of Clone Wars, what were they in, a 2 or 3 episode arc?
Three, maybe even 4. At least 3, though.
A group of clone troopers known as the Bad Batch, who helped our heroes, you know, in a couple arcs. They were phenomenal. Instantly loved them. My son and I, like, when they were done for that arc, we're like, oh, they're not going to be in the whole season? Because they were really early on.
Yes.
Brought in. We're really disappointed at how quickly they were out. And it made sense for the rest of the season. But it was announced that they're going to have their own series. And as soon as I saw that, I texted my son and let him know. And we're both like, oh, this is going to be so amazing. So very excited for that. And again, I will go into, and I brought this up before, a great way for Marvel to tell either stories between movies, backstories, what have you. DC does a phenomenal job with it. Actually, after the crossover episode we did with Cape Chronicles, I've been slowly going through the animated movies in the DC universe, forgetting how much I enjoy them, and going and kind of watching them in chronological order. And I know Mike was doing that, at least Mike, if not the whole cast. You know, of Cape Chronicles. And it is, they are so good. I mean, we're going to have the What If series, and I know they're slowly getting into it. But as a guy who grew up loving Saturday morning cartoons, I would absolutely love for some more Marvel cartoons that tie to the MCU.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'd love to see it. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I mean, right now, anything that's animated coming out of the MCU is not canonical.
It's not. So they would have to make that shift, though.
Yeah. And they've still like have told some really great stories. And I can't admit to having watched like all the animated stuff that's been out there, like within the time period of the MCU, you know, like the Guardians of the Galaxy show and that kind of stuff. But I have watched a lot of the episodes and they're really well done. They've got great talent voicing them. They have really good stories. I mean, generally the stories do. The stories fit within the MCU. I don't know that they would necessarily be that they could be regarded as canonical, but in many ways they are like stories set between the time periods that we see these characters in the MCU films. So it definitely, you know, they could work. There's probably a rare occasion where they wouldn't, but they certainly could.
And I even think, you know, going back and doing to a degree prequels on some of the characters would work great that we saw. I mean, the, you know, Thanos's Black Order would be a fantastic to dive deep into that, you know, and take a look at, you know, some of the, you know, Hawkeye's, you know, early career, you know, Thor has centuries that they could dive into. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff that they could play with. Maybe not. I mean, because the movies generally flowed timeline wise so close together, you know, it'd be a little bit more difficult to do it. You know, hell, you know, a history of Wakanda would be phenomenal.
Oh yeah. 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 So, and it, I mean, obviously in animation, it makes it so much easier for them to tell certain stories and fill in certain things that, you know, might not be worth, you know, doing in a movie that like a lot of people aren't necessarily clamoring to see. So to have the expense of, you know, the cast and crew and the sets and the effects and all that kind of stuff probably isn't worth it. But to do something in animation where you can build these worlds with considerably less expense and you still get some great voice talent to do them and tell some good stories, you can really do some good stuff.
All right. So Tim, for the next episode, two special guests.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Feige and Filoni and we can get them to hash this out.
All right. Yeah. I mean,
they both work for Disney, but apparently they're not talking. Let's get the two of them kind of talking and go from there. We can do a virtual happy hour with them.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll text them tonight actually. You know, cause they're on the West Coast, so it's not that late for them right now.
And we'll put it on YouTube.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's a great idea, John. I will. You know what? Actually, I'm a little busy this week. Could you set it up for us?
Yeah. No. Just send me their contact info.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. John, take us out of here.
All right, folks. Send us your feedback, your questions, your comments, and concerns. You can always reach us over at Guardians@randomchatter.com and of course on the Discord. We are also all over the social media, some of us more than others. On Twitter, you can always find us at Random Chatter. Lizzie, who was unable to join us this evening, is at the Lizzie T. That is T as in the drink. Tim is Qui-Gon Tim. That is Tim with two M's. On the Instagram, you can also find us at Random Chatter. I am at _ John Stewart. Lizzie is again at the Lizzie T. She really likes that single brand marketing.
Consistency.
And Tim is at, she is nothing but consistent. Well, that's another podcast. and Tim is at some call me Tim 1138.
It's Tim with one M on that one.
That is Tim with one.
There it is, folks. Thank you once again for joining us. Hope that everyone is healthy and, you know, as happy as you can be. Make the most of it. take advantage of some of these opportunities. You know, do some fun and exciting things to the best of your ability, safely at home, probably. And that's it. We'll catch you next week. Thanks, everyone. Be well.